Good morning. It's 2015. Can you believe it? I woke up, it was 2014, went to bed, and then it was 2015. That's what it feels like, right? This is a fast year. Go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. We like New Year's, don't we? We love it. It's exciting. It's fresh starts. Before I get into my lesson, I have an announcement. This coming Saturday, we have our annual leaders workshop. So we're going to be at the Evergreen right next to Stone Mountain. So you should already have an email if you're a part of that. So it's going to be a great time of just us coming together and planning out the year and getting the theme together and just coming together as leaders so we can have a great 2015. Amen. I have another announcement. Yesterday, if Blake Cherry, if you could stand up. Come on, Blake. Yesterday, Blake got baptized. It's exciting. That's a way to start out a year, huh? I love it. You know, the year 2014, how was it for you? Yeah, it's good. It's all right. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Indifferent, quick, busy. You know, I liked 2014. I have a lot of great memories in 2014. I learned a lot of lessons. And some of those were difficult lessons to learn. But I still learned lessons, and we are here today. So amen for 2014. You know, I look back and I think I've grown, which is always a good sign. This time last year, in January 3rd, or 4th, excuse me, 2014, there was about 30 less people in this church. There were no engaged couples. There were a lot of children still in the womb. You know, a lot has happened in 2014. And there's so much hope and expectation for 2015. Because we have no idea what the future is going to hold. When we're here on this stage or wherever we may be, what will have happened this year? We don't know. I'm personally very excited about 2015. You know, why do we get so excited about New Year's? It's because it's a fresh start. You feel like you can hit the reset button. And you're just like, all right, 2014, whether it was good or bad or whatever, you're like, this year will be different. You say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to achieve that. I'm going to attain this. We don't know what 2015 holds. And I thrive on that. I don't like knowing how something ends. I love being surprised. Now, I know some people, they just have to read the last couple, they have to read the last chapter of a book because they can't take it, or they have to watch the very end of the movie because they're like, this is just too stressful. I love it. If it was my choice, I would just go on a road trip and have no idea where we're going. I love exciting, unexpected things. You know, 2015 is going to be a great year. There's so much anticipation unknown. What's going to happen? Who will become a disciple? What will we see? What is God going to do this year? We have no idea. The title of my lesson today is Fresh Starts. Fresh Starts. I'm grateful for fresh starts. Because, you know, we make mistakes, right? Well, at least I do. Maybe not you. But and disciples of Jesus, this is the great thing about disciples of Jesus, is that we always have fresh starts. We don't have to wait till December 31st at 11:59 to feel like, oh, finally I got to reset the button. Each and every day that you and I wake up, we have a fresh start, a clean slate, a new beginning. It's amazing that God offers us this every single day. Unexpected and exciting things every day. Every day. It does not have to be mundane. Yes, we have to go to work and we have to do these things, but that doesn't have to be mundane. Regardless of the date or year, we have a fresh start and a new beginning. And the reason we have those is because of these three facts. And that's what we're going to talk about. The first fact, we are a new creation. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, you should be there, unless you're really, really slow at finding the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This is Paul speaking. He says, "So I tell you this, and insist in it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." This is a challenging and encouraging passage, isn't it? It's saying we are a new creation. Paul is starting out, he's like, come on guys, do not live like your old self. Just look at the world. They just dive into sensuality and sin and they love it. And they look for it and they hunt it out. And that's what they think about all day and that's what they want. He said, but you did not get to know Christ that way. Amen. You didn't know God by sinning. Whoever found God by sinning? Whoever got closer to God by sinning? That is the point Paul is making here. He says, so why do it? Take it off. Throw it away. You are a new creation. He said, come on, guys. You sat down and looked at the scriptures. You were taught that you don't do it that way anymore. This is the way to do it. He said, don't think like that. Think like this. Don't live over here. Live over there. We were all taught these things. We looked at the scriptures. We got open with where we were. We applied the scriptures to our lives. We learned the truth of God's word. And we saw that we needed to change. We saw where we were, right? We all had that moment where it was like, yeah, I'm good. And you're just like, oh, wow. I am not where I thought I was. And your stomach just sinks. And you get sick. We all learn the truth of God's word. So why go back to the garbage? Why do what pulls you away from God? We've been taught to throw it off, to be made new in the attitude of our minds, and to put on the new self. And look what it says. It just doesn't say to put on a new self, which is going to be a good person. It says, put on the new self. This is verse 24. Created to be like God. I just want you to think about that for a second. Created to be like God. Do you realize that is what God's goal for you and I is? To be like Jesus, to be like him? Who's there? Amen. None of us, right? But that's where God is taking us. He's not taking us to be good people and, you know, smiling all the time and happy and, oh, hello, how are you? He's creating us to be like him in true righteousness. That is an incredible thing. Now, that is going to take a lot of refining. Because we're rough people. I'm speaking for myself here, right? I know myself somewhat, and I know I have a lot to grow in. And that's going to take a lot of refining and teaching. And we all have similar areas, right? Like pride, right? Selfishness. We all have our similar areas. But then we have our own unique things in our character. God is going to work all these things out. But God will get us there. In each and every day, we have the option to be more and more like God. Do you realize that? Each and every day, we have the option to be more like God each and every day. So take the opportunity. Take the clean slate. Take the new change and make changes and grow. Take the fresh start and do it each and every day. What were you like last year? This time last year, what were you like? Are you more like God now than you were then? Hopefully, yes. Or are you more like your old self? And this past year, you're like, man, I've been really taking steps back and digressing. Hopefully, we're making strides forward. That is the goal. You know, there's this famous Japanese artist in the 1800s. He lived to 89 years old. It's a good age. And towards the end of his life, he started dismissing his earlier works. He said, all right, anything that I did before I was 50, it doesn't even count. I wasn't even a painter. That doesn't even count. And then towards the end of his life, actually on his deathbed, he said, when I turned 70, I that's when I kind of considered I was doing some work. And he said, if I would have been allowed 5 more years, I would have become a real painter. And he was famous. I mean, you look at his stuff and it's just like, whoa, how do you even do that? Now, you and I, we're not to have that exact same attitude, but that's where we're striving, right? We should look back last year and go, whoa. Wow, that's where I was and that's where I am now. And the next year, wow. Actually, we should do this day by day, right? Day by day going, wow, I'm growing. And some of us maybe should go like, what was I doing like 10 years ago? You know, what was I thinking? But we should, each and every day, we should be growing more and more like God. See, we have the opportunity for a fresh start each and every day to be more like God. Amen. History is the record of an encounter between character and circumstance. History is the record of an encounter between character and circumstance. What has this last year exposed in your character? You know, hopefully we've gotten time to really reflect over the last year. What has this last year reflected in your character? I see this last year that I really need to rely on God. That's what my character has been exposed through different circumstances. I really need to rely on God a lot more. I see my selfishness. I think becoming a parent will do that. It just really, marriage did it first, and now parenting does it again. But I saw my selfishness. I saw that I love my comfort. And so these are the things that I must take off. I have to take these off. I have to remove them and I have to throw them away. Because these are not qualities of God. Imagine if God loved comfort. Imagine if God loved himself so much that he didn't care about us. He was so selfish. It would not be good. So we need to take these things off that are not like God. And the way that this is done is through verse 23. It says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. You will not do, or you will not throw away what you love. Look at people's garages. Or look at your own garage, right? Do you ever use it? No. But we love it and we won't get rid of it. So it's the same thing with things in our character and our life. You know, it serves us no purpose, but we love it. And so therefore, we will not get rid of it. So we have to have an attitude change, a mind change. And that's my second truth. Renewing of our minds. We have a fresh start because we can renew our minds on a daily basis. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Fresh starts. We are a new creation. And we can also renew our minds each and every day. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We see Paul's message is the same here as what we read in Ephesians 4, right? He says, look around. Look at what God has done in your life. Look at the way He has given you grace and mercy. The way that He's loved you. The way that He's secured your life. Just take a look at it. Now, do not be like the world. Realize what God has done for you. So that should make you run away from what the world chases. And run towards God. Because the world and God are in conflict. Right? We can't be 1 foot here and 1 foot there. Like, all right, I can have my friends and have my parties and then I can go to church. It doesn't work. They're in conflict with one another. It's like water and oil. They do not mix. You are fooling yourself if you think they mix. But this is the way it is done. We have to be a living sacrifice. And he says, the way that this is maintained, the way that we maintain being a living sacrifice that is pleasing to God is throughout the years is to be transformed by renewing our minds. That is the only way it is maintained. Yeah, we can make temporary change, right? We've all done the 2-week diet. Like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then a couple weeks later, you're just like, all right, this is too difficult. I like the tasty foods. This isn't fun anymore. I just want to go out and eat. But we all have those temporary changes. But the way to maintain it, the way to keep it going, is by renewing our minds day in and day out. So this is not a one-time thing. So we can't say, yeah, I did that X number of years ago. Or here's the date that I did that. Yeah, I repented that date. And so I'm done. You know, this is not a vaccine. We do not have our paperwork and go, look, I got my vaccine. I'm good. You know, I repented. Look, here it is. Repentance. Checked off by this leader and that leader. There it is. So why are you messing with me? It takes daily. It's all the time. Renewing it over and over again. This is a daily procedure that you and I need to undergo. Look at this. This is a mall, right? It's got a cool, like, little glass chandelier thing up there. You know, it's beautiful. This is built for teens and families to go shopping to their heart's content, right? Huge, right? Malls are huge. But what happens if you leave it alone? Oh, I'm sorry. What happens if you just leave a mall or a building to itself? It starts to break down. You know, here's another beautiful mall. Wow, this thing is sensitive. And then it just starts to break down. Time does its thing. A place that used to be a shelter, something that could actually protect people, is now really dangerous. It gets worn out. Time does its thing. It starts to break down. This is simply by not people being in there. Buildings die. Okay, they become condemned when people stop living in them. And the reason for that is because they're not being cleaned, they're not being maintained, nothing is happening to them. You know, you and I are like buildings. If we do not renew our minds, on a daily basis, this will become us. This will be us. So if you're like, yeah, no, I shared my faith when I was younger. I did my time. This is you. This is you. Here's a picture of, oh gosh, man, a 1966 Volvo P1600. This car has the world record for most miles. Who has a guess? How many miles? 600,000. 3 million miles. And it still runs. The guy just drives it. I don't even know how you drive 3 million miles. But a guy did it. Now here's a 1965 Chevy Impala. All right? We got a little tree growing through it. Now, I can guarantee you this car does not have nearly the miles that 3 million mile car has. So what is the difference? Why is this thing, you can't even move it. There's a tree growing through it. You'd have to break it apart. What is the difference between the two cars? Better build? No. Good guess. The Volvo owner took care of his car. He took care of it. He kept on renewing it. You know, when the oil needed to be changed, he changed it. He kept up with the maintenance. When something broke, he fixed it or replaced it. This person, they parked that car and never touched it again. So much so, a tree grew through it. Look at that. That's a big tree. He never cared to renew it. We do not want to be the abandoned mall or car. We must be renewed on a daily basis. It must happen because Satan is out there and he is working on breaking us. Do you realize that? He's breaking parts of us left and right. And if we just leave ourselves to our own devices and time, we will be a complete wreck. Unrecoverable. That car was unrecoverable. That could be you and I in a very short time. You can find yourself in a year's time completely wandering from God and walking away. When we go up against Satan, sparks fly. Chunks come off. And we have to be renewed. We have to, if we're going to maintain this. So how is this done? How are we renewed? How do we renew our minds on a daily basis? I got some stuff for you. All right? Prayer. Reading. Fellowship. That means not talking about the playoffs. Fellowship is, bro, this is what's going on with me. This is what I'm learning. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. Share with me. Share your faith. Talk to people. Get outside of yourself. That will renew your mind. Serve others. Fasting. Worship. Do these regularly. Do them daily. Renew your minds. Because without a renewed mind, there is no repentance. And that's the third fact. Repentance. So we are a new creation. That's why we have a fresh start every single day. The second one is that we can renew our minds. And the third one is that we can repent. Go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7. Kind of give you a little backstory here. This is John the Baptist, and he's out there in the desert. This is a man's man, eating locusts and wearing camel's hair. And he's out there just preaching the word. And he's preparing the way for Jesus. So he's out there baptizing people for repentance. And he's just preaching, the Messiah is coming. Get ready. And that's where we're going to pick up here. Some people come out, they're like, okay, let's go. This is awesome. So Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 7. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Do not collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Do not extort money, and do not accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Now, John the Baptist knew what he was doing here. Right? The first time I read this, I'm like, whoa, these people actually want to change, and he's calling them brood of vipers? Apparently, you know, in the first century, that was like the insult, right? Brood of vipers. And so these people are coming out. They want to get baptized. They want to do it right. They want to change. And he calls them out. He knew what they were thinking. He said, "Do not even begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as your father.'" Because he knew that that's what their security was. Their security was in their lineage. It's like, well, I'm Abraham's seed, because if you follow my dad and his dad and his dad, we're Abraham's descendants. So we're good. We got our ticket. It's been stamped. We're in there. And John the Baptist calls them out. He says, "You guys are vipers. You don't really want to change. You don't want to do this." He says, "You need to produce fruit with repentance." He says, "The axe is already at the root." He says, "Guys, it's coming. Any tree that does not have good fruit is gone. It's out of here. It doesn't matter if its dad was Abraham. What is your tree producing?" You see, each and every day we need to produce fruit, and we can produce fruit. Because who sinned today so far? Yep, who sped? Who sped on the way here? It was raining, so maybe not. But anyways, most likely we have sinned already. So therefore, we can repent. So we can produce fruit on a daily basis. Right? And so, people come and ask him, right? "Hey, what should we do? Help us, what should we do?" And he says, "If you have extra clothes, give to the one who doesn't. If you have extra food, give to the one who doesn't." Who has full pantries with like cans that are like, you don't even know what's in there, right? We need to give that food. Who has extra clothes? You know, you open up that drawer and you're like, "I haven't worn this and I'm not going to wear it." We need to give that away. Or you go in your closet and you're like, "Where did that come from?" You need to give that stuff away. But John the Baptist says, it's simple, guys. If you're stealing money, stop. If you are a womanizer, stop. If you are prideful, stop. If you are this, stop. If you're doing that, stop. That's all it is. Right? In reality, or in our minds, it's like, man, that's so simple. Just stop. But it's difficult to do. You know, it was a lie from Satan that they were believing, saying, "Know what? You're good, guys. You're good. You're Abraham's seed. You're good. You're in there. You're fine. Don't worry about it. You don't got to do nothing." That was a lie from Satan. Where is your security? What is your security in? Because these people had false security. They thought they were okay, but they were not. The axe was already at the root. Is your security in a prayer that you said? Like, yeah, man, I'm good. I said a prayer. Is your security that you go to church? Like, hey, I go to church. Or is your security like, I don't believe in organized religion and I have a higher relationship than all y'all. I'm just coming here to bless you guys. There's people that think that, right? And if you're in this room, you just got called out. You know, is your security in that you got dunked underwater? Like, I know the date. What do you mean I'm not good? I know the date I got baptized. I know where it was. I can recall everything I did. Is that what your security is in? There's so many false securities that we can have, right? Is it comparing yourself to others and say, I'm not like him or I'm not like her? Is that where your security is? Or is it the way that people view you? You're the good guy at work or the good girl at work. You're the good Christian person because you go to church. And you're like, man, you know, my coworkers think I'm a Christian. I must be good. These are all false securities, guys. These are all false securities. Maybe some people, your security is ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know and I don't need to know. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. God knows my heart. I could just simply say, but God, I didn't know. I didn't know. Is that where your security is? These are all lies. These are all false security and they're all lies. Do not sit idly by. You have to open up your Bible and get uncomfortable. Amen. When you're uncomfortable, that's a very good thing. Amen. Being uncomfortable is a very good thing. I do not read of any man or woman of God who is comfortable. Do you read about it? Was Jesus always reclining, hanging out, chilling, eating food? Was his disciples always doing that? No. They were very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Our security needs to be in our relationship with Jesus. And like all relationships, they are two-way. Our part is faith and obedience. That's our part. Faith and obedience. And God does the rest, right? And John the Baptist is just simply calling these out. Like, you do not have a relationship with God. If you're not producing fruit, you have no relationship. So take a look at your tree and see if there's fruit. If there's not, then you need to get uncomfortable. You know, there's a story of this man. He had a great job. He had a wife. He had his kids. And he had finally had the position that he always wanted. You know, he worked so hard. He got his degrees and went to school and did the hard work. And he kind of always worried about the future. So he said, I'm concerned what happens if I get really sick and I can't work? I need to make sure that my family is taken care of. And I need to make sure that I'm taken care of. So he moved to a city that had great doctors. He got great life insurance and the best health insurance. And he was set and he was secure. But his security was all in the wrong places. He was told for years to stop smoking by his doctors. He was told time and time again that he needed to lose weight and he needed to change his lifestyle. But he always said that would interrupt his career and interrupt his security. Because if he didn't have the career, then he couldn't afford all the insurance and all this stuff. You see, the man was focused on the wrong things. He found his security in something that could not save him. You and I can be just like this man. Right? I go to church. I give contribution. I'm a nice person. But none of these things will save you. None of them. We need to have our security in things that can save us. Amen? Amen. Our relationship with God, faith, and repentance. Those save you. That's where our security needs to be. We need to produce fruit with repentance. We have a fresh start every single day, guys. Every single day. You know, we all have these opportunities, Each day that you wake up, you can say, you know what? I got that reset button. It's a fresh start. What are you going to do this year? What changes are you going to pray about? Do not make a once-a-year effort to make a lot of change. Like, okay, it's January 1st, let's go. Here's all the change I'm going to make for the rest of the year. Every single day, wake up with that mindset that it is a new day. It's a fresh start. Because no matter what the date is, no matter what time it is, each and every day we have this opportunity. We are when we walk with God, there is no limit to what He can do with us. Each and every day can be full of excitement, can be full of unknown. Who will become a disciple today? What will God do today? Where will God take me today? And who is He calling me to be today? We have this every single day because of three truths. We are a new creation. So you do not have to be like your old self. Be more and more like God each and every day. We can renew our minds on a daily basis so that we do not become the abandoned mall or the abandoned car. And we can repent each and every day and have our security in God. Happy New Year, and let's do great things.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father in heaven, I thank you so much, God, for the lesson that you put on Stephen's heart, Father, to teach us. God, to remind us that we're a new creation. God, because of the blood that was shed on the cross for us, we get a chance to have a fresh new start every single day, God. Father, I pray that you help us never forget that, God. I pray that you help us live lives worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ, Father. That, Father, we keep our eyes focused, Father, on your kingdom, Father. Help us keep our minds and our hearts fixed on heaven, God. And think about the fact that, God, you created us, Father, to be like you. And, God, you're molding us and you're shaping us to be like your son, God. And I pray that you help us be focused on that, God. Help us live our lives in a way that brings you glory, in a way that brings you honor. Father, I pray that when you look down on us and look down on our lives, you are pleased, God, that your name is glorified with everything that we do, Father. Please come and strengthen us. Come and guide us through this year. Father, I pray that you lead our leaders, God, in this church, Father. Guide us in a way that, Father, we may glorify you. I thank you so much. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.